In Washington State, a native tribe of about 600 people has been fighting for decades to be recognized as a sovereign nation. Now, thousands of people across Seattle have joined their cause, Katia Riddle reports.
If you stand on a beach in West Seattle and look across Elliott Bay, you can take in all of downtown. But Ken Workman sees something more.
This is the first place where the white people would have come around and seen native people.
Workman is a member of the Duwamish tribe. He traces his lineage directly back to Chief Seattle. He imagines the day his grandpa, many generations ago, welcomed these boats of white people.
He would have said, "Sla lil," which means come ashore. Come ashore, my friends, onto this land. Sla lil de sea de chapud.
It's hard to imagine what Chief Seattle would say now.
That's a good question. So I'm going, "Grandpa, what were you thinking?"
Workman's grandpa signed a treaty with these colonizers. Now, the Duwamish are demanding the federal government make good on that deal. They're asking for federal recognition. Federally recognized tribes can be eligible for a lot of benefits: healthcare, revenue streams from casinos, education.
I could have gone to school to be a teacher.
Desiree Fagan is also a member of the Duwamish tribe. She's a stay-at-home mom of four. She says she's always wondered how her life might have gone differently had her tribe been recognized. It might have helped her pay for college.
Same as the English M.
Fagan pulls up an app on her phone. She's using it to teach her children the ancestral Duwamish language.
Mi'kmaq.
Mi'kmaq.
Fagan says the struggle to access higher education continues. Her oldest son is now in his first year of college. He received one private scholarship for $2,500.
But $2,500 versus, you know, full tuition being paid with federally recognized tribes, that's a huge difference.
Fagan traces her own history through her Duwamish great-grandma. But treaties and proven Indian lineage are not enough to meet the federal government's criteria for recognition.
Where the problem sits is that they don't account for historical reality.
Josh Reed is a historian of American Indian Studies at the University of Washington. Reed says the longer tribes go unrecognized, the more elusive recognition becomes. That's because the U.S. wants tribes to show long-standing records of things like land or internal government.
That can be really challenging when you're burned out of your homelands or your lands are just simply taken.
That's exactly what the Duwamish argue happened to them after colonization. Not everyone here agrees with that interpretation of history. Some other tribes object to recognition for the Duwamish. The Bureau of Indian Affairs did not respond to interview requests for this story. But the Duwamish have gained allies in their struggle.
Oh, you live or work here in Seattle now, currently? You should be giving money to the Duwamish.
Rosie Wilson Briggs helped to start a project a few years ago called Real Rent. The idea is that people here voluntarily pay reparations to the tribe directly. No need to wait for the federal government. Wilson Briggs says it's taken on a life of its own.
It's deeply satisfying. Oh my goodness.
More than 20,000 people are now giving monthly.
So Real Rent itself has been a godsend.
Duwamish elder Ken Workman says the money has helped cover basic expenses. In the years since Real Rent started, the tribe's federally reported annual income has gone from just over $100,000 to more than $1 million. Still, this money is nowhere near the benefit some federally recognized tribes receive. This fight is not just about the money. Back at Elliott Bay, Workman remembers coming here as a child with his younger brother.
This is what it means to be Duwamish, that you're attached to this place, imprinted on this beach.
Workman says it's long past time for the federal government to acknowledge that fact as well. For NPR News, I'm Katia Riddle in Seattle.